south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, let's talk today a little bit about why Latinos down here in Latin America, anyway, think that gringos and expats are kind of nuts. On top of that, almost every one of them thinks we're just loaded with money. Which is why on the tourist trail, where there are so many of us, eventually everyone's got a story about getting robbed or getting gouged. Sometimes over and over again, too. The question is, as one of my gringo friends living in Cancun told me, what's your limit? What's the straw that'll break the camel's back? How many times do you have to get ripped off or gouged before you throw in the towel and move back to Cleveland? Though P.T. Barnum did say there's a sucker born every minute. You have to wonder why newbie gringos and expats are so overrepresented in that aspect. It's true, many newbie gringos and expats that come down are gullible. They're born marks, but we do learn. Well, some of us anyway. And then there's those gringos and expats that never learn, often justifying the stereotype that local Latins have for gringos that puts us all in a bad or stupid light. For example, just the other day I was checking out a Cuenca, Ecuador gringo rag newspaper. You know, since International Living's been touting the place, it's dead on the tourist trail now. Anyway, I just happened to run across this little full-colored ad with a picture of a fluffy little poodle. An ad posted by a gringo, or I should say gringa, in both English and Spanish. It says, SOS, recompensa, a reward offered for little Mickey, our lost dog. It says in both English and Spanish, please help find our lovely Mickey, last seen in Salinas, Santa Elena province. $500 reward. Now, that's exactly the kind of ad that makes locals think two things. One, that gringos are a little bit nuts. And two, that they're just loaded with dough and don't care much how they spend it. Because let me tell you, on occasion, you will see an ad somewhere or a posted bill in a grocery store or bulletin board put up by a Latino or Latina that says, our little Fluffy is lost. And there'll be a nice picture and the last whereabouts where Fluffy was last seen. But I've never seen a Latino or Latina post a reward for an animal that was over 10 or maybe 20 bucks. And most of them don't even post rewards. They just say, please help us find Fluffy. If you see her, dial this number. But a $500 reward for Mickey the stinking poodle? Hey, I'm not judging Mickey's hygiene here, but if Mickey's been lost for a while, I'm sure old Mick is stinking to high heaven. By the way, I always say long-haired dogs in Latin America, I don't care if you're on the coast or in the Altiplano, not a good idea. It's so hard to keep their coats in good shape, especially if you've got 6 months rainy season. Imagine that. Think of all the mud and goop they'll have to trot through when they go outside and do their thing. Now, short-haired dogs do fine. For example, I've had Dobermans and Rottweilers. And the only real problem I had with their coats is occasionally when they go outside, they'll come back in with a couple of ticks. Ew, ticks. Yeah, I hate them. Funny, though, the dogs don't know it, and they don't seem to really care. Soon enough, you'll spot them, though, and you'll have to yank them out. You'll spot them quickly, especially if you've got a short-haired dog. You'll see a little depression in their fur. It's not smooth like it should be. Now, a long-haired dog, especially if you got a big garden or you're out in the boonies, he's going to pick up lots of ticks. And most times, you'll never know it till you give your dog a bath and you're scrubbing them down. Those ticks will burrow deep. They're really good at hiding in long-haired dogs. Bottom line, long-haired dogs are 3 or 4 times more upkeep than the short-haired ones. That's why so many Latinos with dogs end up throwing in the towel. And their dogs really suffer for it. It's pretty sad. As a rule, the vast majority of dog owners here in Latin America should not have had dogs in the first place. Sort of like up in the States, where the majority of parents should not have had kids. But where were we? Oh, yeah. Little Mickey got lost, and her gringo owner is offering a reward. Now, I'm not sure if Mickey's a male or a female, macho or hembra. Maybe he's somewhere in between, gender fluid. Today he's a boy, tomorrow a girl. I guess it depends on which butt he's been sniffing lately. Dogs don't discriminate on that count, you know. So I guess the question is for all you LGBT WTFs out there, which pronoun do you use for your dog? Will someone please tell me? I don't want to get it wrong and get canceled. Yeah, right. Man, am I glad I got the hell out of Dodge. By the way, how's your plan B coming? And what pronoun are you insisting on today? And think about this, a $500 reward
for poor little Mickey
is 2 months' salary for the average Ecuadorian. Put it this way, if the average American up in the States makes $3,000 a month, that'd be like posting a $6,000 reward for an American version of a lost fluffy up in Milwaukee or Cleveland. And if you saw an ad like that, what would your impression be of the person or persons who posted it? I don't know about you, but I'd think the person who posted it was a little eccentric, possibly nuts, and definitely loaded. Or perhaps the dog's collar had a secret compartment with the owner's crypto codes in it. I doubt it, but who knows? What this really shows is another example of how gringos and expats never seem to put themselves in the shoes of the locals. Same reason I think it's foolish or even nuts to drive a new high-end car in Latin America, have the latest iPhone, wear expensive watches and real gold bling, or treat your help or waiters in a restaurant like servants or second-class citizens. Though I'm happy to say I rarely see the latter when it comes to gringos and expats. Most all of us seem to treat our help and the waiters, etc. at restaurants with respect. We treat them like real people. In fact, our help, our cleaning ladies, maintenance guys, etc. become part of the family after a while. That, as opposed to many Latinos I see, whether they've got a lot of money or not, they often treat waiters, waitresses, and their own cleaning ladies like second-class citizens. I've seen it myself. That's not to say, though, that you won't occasionally get mad at your own cleaning lady. Sure, you'll get pissed off when she wrecks things in your house, but accidents will happen. Though, if you're going to scold her, do it in private, not in front of anyone else. And from what I can see, and I've been down here a long, long time, gringos and expats are pretty tolerant about the errors made by their maintenance guys and cleaning ladies. In fact, expat Eddie kind of summed it up precisely when he said, "You know, my cleaning lady has ruined a lot of things, but I just can't bring myself to yell at her or scold her. Sure, I'll correct her, but nicely, never with disdain or harshness. Because I'm always thinking in the back of my mind," he says, "and I know it's stupid, but I can't get it out of my head, that she's sort of doing me a favor, because when I lived back up in the States, we could never have afforded a cleaning lady." And you know, when expat Eddie said that, I thought, I know lots and lots of gringos and expats who feel that way too. I've got a little of that in me myself, because my parents could never afford a cleaning lady either. Oh, and one last thing, and I'm sure I mentioned this before. Just a heads up for you guys out there, when you get a cleaning lady, it'll take some time for you to get used to her puttering around everywhere. But that's not the worst of it. You'll never feel good walking around in your underwear again. And forget about prancing around in your birthday suit. Oh, and you know, there's a 99% probability she will speak no English at all. But still, when we're on the phone speaking to our friends and acquaintances in English, if she's hovering around nearby, we'll be guarded about what we say on that phone, even though she cannot understand a word. Oh, and one last thing about that $500 reward for Mickey the stinking poodle. I'd say a $50 reward would do the trick nicely. Even that's too much. In fact, I don't think upping the reward to anything beyond that will get the locals to look any harder. It only tends to further cement the idea that all of us gringos are rich, eccentric, and possibly nuts. However, I have to say at the other end of the spectrum, you've got gringo and expat backpackers who've kind of created a bad vibe with the locals. The locals have long since discovered, especially the ones that own businesses, that backpacking gringos don't tip, they drink the cheapest booze, they steal toilet paper, ketchup, and napkins, and they seek out the cheapest restaurants, which are usually scruffy, dirty, unsanitary Chinese restaurants, selling mystery meat chop suey at $3 a plate. Shades of poor little Mickey, eh? By the way, speaking of bad Chinese restaurants here in Latin America, man, they're everywhere. I'd say only about 1 out of 10 are decent and hygienic. Them's bad odds, folks. All right, now, for you wokester listeners out there who might be pissed off about what I just said, I suggest before you say a word, you come down here to Latin America and visit a few Chinese restaurants. But first, visit the restroom. You'll find 9 out of 10 don't have paper towels. And with probably a quarter to a third of them, you turn on the faucet and not a drop of water will come out, which does not bode well for the cooks who also use that bathroom. Think of the hygiene problems. Oh, and speaking of hygiene problems in both Latino and American bathrooms, I really believe one of the worst inventions known to man are those hot air hand dryers. Yet they're everywhere and people use them all the time. It's been proven that all those machines do is recirculate fecally contaminated air. Yum, yum. As for me, if I'm in a restaurant, I'll take a couple of napkins in with me and avoid those hot air hand dryers completely. And if no napkins are around, I'll give my hands a good shake and dry them off on my pants. And if someone's using that hand dryer, I'll try not to take any deep breaths. But you know, lost little Mickey's not the only news coming out of Ecuador. Turns out, Ecuador's former comptroller, Carlos Pollitt, was arrested Monday in Miami on charges of money laundering. What else is new? I know, that's like no news at all, right? But bear with me here. Turns out they caught him taking $8 million in construction bribes. According to the Miami indictment, it says Pollitt is accused of conspiring with a relative, an Oakbricht Construction Company executive, and another unnamed Ecuadorian businessman in transferring ill-gotten bribery payments from the engineering firm through a series of shell companies and bank accounts through Miami's South Florida. It says Pollitt, Ecuador's comptroller, was paid $8 million by an unidentified executive to influence official actions by the Ecuador Comptroller's Office to benefit the construction company and its business in Ecuador by using yet another co-conspirator, another unnamed relative, to make the cash disappear through banks and real estate corporations in Miami. So then why am I bringing this particular case up since there are so many South and Central American asswipe criminal politicians stealing money hand over fist? Well, it's just to further substantiate the fact that the U.S. government looks the other way and allows it, while coming down hard on average Americans. Just try to go to your bank and ask for $1,000 in cash. You'll have to give them a written forensic history, the who, what, where's, and why's. Or they'll write up an SAF, a suspicious activity form, and you'll be on the government's shit list. Isn't it funny, though? The number one destination for these asswipe crooks is the capital of Latin America, Miami. For example, the article further states, the Pollitts, the son and father, were the focus of a Miami Herald investigation in 2019 that showed the son had taken out various mortgages on several million-dollar properties in the Miami area, including a multi-million-dollar luxury home in Coco Plum that had been earlier purchased outright with cash. All right, me, Johnny, here again. What does that tell you? It's a place where Latin American bureaucrats, narcos, and political crooks park all the bribes and the government cash that they've stolen. And you know, every Miami, even Florida realtor knows that. They know the names, they know the accounts, they know the houses. And the crazy thing is, most of these guys are under indictment in their own countries. And if they go back, they'll go directly to the slammer. But while living in their million-dollar condos and estates in Miami, they live the high life like royalty. There's something really twisted about that, don't you think? And the whole U.S., especially Florida, are complicit. Oh, and one last thing about the COVIDiot situation in Ecuador. Turns out just this week, Health Minister Ximena Garzón defended the government's decision to reopen most indoor businesses and events at 100% capacity, insisting that Ecuador has emerged from the COVID-19 pandemic. In fact, she said since March 19th, what's that, 2 weeks ago now, we've had recorded only one death from coronavirus, and our hospital IC units are reporting very, very few virus patients, she said. The entire South American region, she said, is recovering. She says our numbers indicate that the pandemic in Ecuador is almost over. She added that the Omicron B.2 subvariant is widely prevalent in the country, but has not affected the downward trend of cases or hospitalizations at all. She also states, accordingly, there have been no increases in cases following the recommendation or as a result of carnival holiday festivities. Seems like COVIDiot statistics throughout Central and South America are down, down, down. It's practically gone away. Yet you hear in the news in certain places in Asia, they're having outbreaks and locking down again. Just goes to show if you listen to lamestream news, you don't know who to believe. But there's one thing for sure. More and more Europeans are leaving for Latin America. They're getting scared, especially with this Ukraine thing. More and more of them are working on a plan B and getting the hell out of their own version of Dodge. And knowing all that crap that's going down in Europe and the constant threat of war between the Arab states and Israel, the Russians and Ukrainians, not to mention the vast influx of Muslims and boat people from Africa. With all that mess going on, I still get emails from people all the time saying, Johnny, why not have a plan B and escape to Portugal or Romania, Poland, Lithuania, Macedonia, Montenegro? All I can say is you probably haven't pulled out a map lately to see just how close those places are to all that conflict. Have you seen the hordes of refugees pushing west on the news? Have you thought about NATO and all the nuclear missile sites posted throughout Europe? Do you realize that everything in Europe is a strategic nuke target? Now, think about Latin America. Except for Panama and the Panama Canal, there are no strategic sites for any nukes at all to be pointed at. Can you think of anyone who wants to conquer Paraguay, Bolivia, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Argentina? I don't think so. For example, you have to realize that the entire country of Guatemala has exactly 12 tanks. Yep, 12 U.S.-made M41 tanks, and half of them at any particular time are broken down. It's that mañana time maintenance thing, you know. And get this, the Guatemalan Air Force has exactly 8 propeller planes and 4 jets. 4 jets! And exactly 18 helicopters, and none of them are attack helicopters. And remember, at least half of them are out of service at any given time. So that's the present state of the Guatemalan military. What a threat. Hell, I bet on a dare. Arnie, Sly Stallone, The Rock, and Bruce Willis could take over the country on Easter weekend. I take that back. Maybe not Bruce Willis. I bet his brain is liquefying. I mean, really. If you saw any of his last dozen or so movies, we all kind of knew something was wrong, didn't we? But anyway, since more and more Europeans are starting to come to Latin America, they're getting a plan B and getting the hell out of their own version of Dodge. The question is, why do you guys keep sending me emails asking my opinion about moving to places in Europe? Did you sleep through geography class? Though Portugal and most of the Soviet bloc countries have 2 things going for them. They're cheap as far as cost of living, well, compared to most other Western European countries, and they offer cheap or fast-track residency programs. But really, you need more than just those 2 reasons to pack up everything and get the hell out of Dodge. Nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. Even if I inherited an estate in the UK, French Riviera, Italy, or Slovakia, I'd sell it or rent it out, but I would not want to live there permanently. The question is, why would you want to live in Europe when the smart money over there is wanting to get the hell out? All right, yanking the wheel a bit here. You know, in the last couple shows, we've been talking about wills, deaths, funerals, and those unfortunate occurrences gringos and expats usually don't plan for. And as usual, after those shows went out, I got some emails. A lot of good, cool, and excellent ones, along with some haters, too. Anyway, Willie from Texas writes, and he's not a hater by any means. He says, Johnny, I'm a longtime listener who once worked for a time in a call center telemarketing service selling grave sites with cold calls. He said, it stands to reason when you cold call someone about insurance for a death, funeral, or gravesite, the person on the other end usually hangs up on you within 3 seconds. But my boss, or I should say his company, knew all the angles. He'd buy email lists from Google or Facebook of people over 60 years old, prime candidates for what we were selling. Better yet, he'd buy email lists from hospital billing departments, which by rights is not quite legal because that stuff's supposed to be confidential. But there's a technicality here. As long as they don't give up the actual procedures performed, they can and will supply an email list of, for example, heart patients, kidney dialysis patients, even oncology patients, all who will be soon or eventually in the market for the services we provide. Cemetery plots. Oh, and did you know health insurance companies sell their email lists too, with the Amazon and Google data departments being the best resources of all. For example, you could find out all the emails of parents who've got kids in hospital oncology wards. They're all in oncology support groups on Facebook, too. And yes, Facebook sells that data. When you first sign up and click the yes box for the user agreement, you agree to all that. Of course, no one ever reads that stuff, but you click, you agree. You could also buy Google data and stats, and of course, massive email lists on everyone searching wheelchairs, oxygen tanks, catheters, bladder control and dementia drugs, high blood pressure, arthritis, and Parkinson drugs. And you hit the jackpot with people searching on Google for nursing homes. You pay good money for that email list. Then Willie says, I know, Johnny, this all sounds pretty cold, but that's the world we live in today. If you have a product to sell to a specific demographic, you check out places like Google Ads and Analytics and buy yourself a nice, very specific email list. Anyway, Johnny, love this show. Been listening for 3+ years now. All right, Willie, thanks for that. Now I hate Google and Facebook even more. Though maybe, just maybe, I'd be a hypocrite too if I had a product to sell and all my competition were cleaning up by buying email lists from the likes of Google and Facebook. I'd like to think I'd be above all that, but who knows? You gotta eat, right? By the way, just with my own show, The Expat Files Living in Latin America, I've had inquiries over the years from people saying they'd like to buy my email list. You know, all you guys that send me emails. Certain people and vendors would love to have that list. I've gotten tens of thousands of emails over the years, all of them coming from some email address, right? I could easily pull all those emails up and put them on an Excel file and sell them. That's what a lot of people do, you know, but not me. Think of it. It takes a certain kind of person to listen to this show, right? You know, independent, smart, Looking for a plan B to get the hell out of Dodge? Distrustful of government, big pharma, big healthcare, and politicians?
That's an understatement, huh?
You listeners realize the U.S. government and the fiat funny money system is going down the tubes. The U.S. government's turned into a big brother state and your leaders aren't worth a shit. That's pretty much the demographic that listens to this show. So to vendors of certain products, my email list is quite valuable, though I'm not at all interested in selling it. In fact, when I get email inquiries like that, I never even answer them. I just dump them in the spam folder. Oh, and beware of spoof mails out there, too. If you ever get an email from me, if we've not been in contact before, requesting anything from you or proposing or recommending something to you, it's not me. It's a spoofer. People do that, you know. They create an email or a website that's almost like yours, and they try to trick people into giving them data or money. Lots of that going on in the crypto world, especially with the shitcoins. You've probably gotten one of those. You know, send me a Bitcoin or an Ethereum, and in 1 month I'll send you two back. I know, it sounds ridiculous that someone would actually do that, but people do. Just think of all the billionaire Nigerian princes that have been in contact with you. Funny how they'll ask you for your bank number so they can deposit millions into your bank account and share it with you, but they won't do a free live video call with you. Yep, Nigeria, a country where every billionaire's got a bad internet connection. And here I thought America was God's chosen country. Not so. In Nigeria, everyone's born a prince. But I digress, as usual. Where were we? Oh, yeah. That last emailer, Willie, he reminded me of something. Wills, as in last will and testament. In last week's show, we hit on wills a little bit. Let's finish it up now. Listen up. This is important. If you have any kind of bank accounts, real estate, jewelry, art, collectibles, anything like that up in the States, you'll need to have a will drawn up by a U.S. lawyer for that stuff. And if you have any kind of quantifiable property in Latin America, bank accounts, real estate, gold, jewelry, art, collectibles, cash that is more than pocket cash, and or a decent smartphone, TV, well-stocked liquor cabinet, etc., you will need to have a will drawn up by your local Latin lawyer just for that stuff. So again, two wills. One for the stuff you've got here in Latin America, and one for the stuff you might have back up in the States. And if you're living full-time here in Latin America, or almost full-time, your will could or should also have a section instructing doctors / hospitals, etc., to pull the plug or withhold artificial life support according to your wishes. Again, it's really important to note that a U.S. will or any other foreign will does not take the place of a Latin American will in the country you're living in because of certain requirements that exist in Latin America, mostly as far as how and when assets must be disposed of to friends and family when you croak, and or disposal percentages. A good example of how Latin American wills differ from U.S. wills is that U.S. wills are often more flexible in terms of permitted beneficiary designations than Latin American laws provide. Because in North America, families are often less complicated than families here in Latin America. So what do I mean by that? Well, Latin American families can often be very complicated, given that one's marital status has often not been legalized. But if you live with someone for more than 6 months, it's considered a common law marriage. Can you see the problem there? And there are a very high percentage of common law marriages here in Latin America that have never had anything written down on paper, where there's never been a religious or a civil ceremony. Many gringos and gringas are in that spot. Think about this for a second. Suppose a couple gets married here in Latin America, a Latin American couple. They have a couple of kids. They break up but don't go through the ritual of getting a divorce. Both of them find a partner once again and have a couple of kids with them. Now, suppose the husband dies. Remember, he's still legally married to the first wife, but he's got kids with the second wife and a common law wife, which isn't quite legal because he's still married, right? Now, that stuff rarely happens up in the States. Though it does occur, it's pretty damn rare, except perhaps in some of the less classy trailer parks. Just remember this, way more than in the USA, Latinos can have multiple families and many stray kids running around that haven't even met or know the existence of their other siblings. And that, by the way, happens not so uncommonly at funerals, where siblings meet other siblings they didn't even know about. And that happens with gringos and expats here in Latin America, too. In fact, one of my friends, who I lost track of, ended up marrying a Nicaraguan girl. She came with her own baggage, a kid. They've been married 12 or 13 years now, and he and his brother, both gringos, of course, made it big in Guatemala. They're in the money. Everything's going okay, except 10 years into the marriage, there's a knock at the front door. There stood a 30-something ragtag Latina with an 11 or 12-year-old kid that looked just like my gringo buddy. Now, of course, you can imagine how well that went down with my buddy's wife. In other words, shit happens. How about this story, which I witnessed firsthand? Back in around 2005, I got a call from my Guatemalan girlfriend. She was over at her mother's house for dinner. There was a knock on the front door. My girlfriend's mother answered and saw a lady there standing with her kid. And the lady said to her, "This is your husband Rafa's kid." Now, my girlfriend's mom and dad were married something like 20 years, and this kid's about 5. Do the numbers, eh? Dad was a bad boy. Turns out, when all the dust settled, we found out my girlfriend's dad had 3 other kids with this woman, all while he was still married to my girlfriend's mom. And her dad had some dough. He owned a hardware store and some other properties. So the question is, if there's not a will, how do you split that stuff up? And if there is a will, there's still going to be a fight. All this can make end-of-life matters quite stressful and could lead to a trail of tears. Just imagine, gringos, if you find a girlfriend, or gringos, if you find a boyfriend, you're living together for more than 6 months, so it's considered a common-law marriage, and she or he brings a kid or two to the party. Now, if that kid's growing up and out of the house and not living with you, no problem. But what if that kid's 5 or 8 or 10 years old and is living with you, like your kid? But he's not really your kid, but his mother or dad are your common-law wife or husband. Of course, it's a lot more cut and dried if you actually get married. But you have to know, as mentioned, that down here in Latin America, there are more common-law marriages than legal sanctioned marriages. And for a will to be legal, it can be complicated too. For example, in Ecuador, a total of 5 witnesses holding either Ecuadorian residency or Ecuadorian citizenship, not a foreigner that is, not a tourist or a family member, must sign the will. A lawyer doesn't have to be present, but it would be a great help to get things organized. Then it cannot be contested, ever. Did you get that? The will's got to be signed by 5 witnesses. Now, when that's done in Latin America, it'll usually be your lawyer's office staff that sign as witnesses. One last thing about power of attorney. It's absolutely imperative that a power of attorney be well-written, containing all the correct names, dates, addresses, as well as the specifics of the context. In other words, don't draw it up yourself, have a lawyer do it. Because, you see, Latin American municipalities, notaries, tax collecting offices, and other lawyers, etc., are all too happy to reject power of attorney documents written by non-lawyers claiming improper, non-specific, and or unclear terms, bad signatures or dates. In other words, don't copy a YouTube presentation. Get a Latin lawyer.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.